Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Benson, and I'm joined by no one today. We had a great recording last night. Unfortunately, there were some technical difficulties, so wasn't able to release it. But I wanted to go today and talk a little bit about free agency. Kicks off Monday. It's going to be a huge week of free agency. There's been a lot of news that's happened. Antonio Brown was almost traded to the Bills, then he wasn't. I think I've made my point clear on this podcast and publicly for a while now, so I don't need to harp again how much I think Antonio Brown has been a detriment to the Steelers and a detriment to, honestly, frankly, his own value throughout this process heading stemming from when he requested to be traded to the to now when this process is almost at its end. It's crazy to me that he is so powerful at this point that he can veto a trade by himself. I think there's a point where the players there is such a thing as a player having too much power, and I think Antonio Brown has the Steelers have no control over him, and you need to have control over your assets if you're going to trade them, right? You can't just have a guy that requests a trade and then when you put together the trade, he just says no. And I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, the players don't have any power. Well, this move clearly demonstrates that players have a ton of power, and I think maybe too much, because you can't just have a guy saying, hey, I won't go to a place just because. Like, he can't dictate where he wants to go to. He requested a trade. It's Antonio Brown's will to be traded. That's cool. I still think he should have just sat back and let the Steelers do what they would have done. And I think it would have ended up a lot better for everyone within the situation. But yeah, that's my thoughts on the Antonio Brown stuff. I'm done talking about it until Antonio Brown actually gets moved. I don't know if he will get moved. I could see him honestly sitting out a year of football rather than playing, which I think he might be fine with. Case Keenum traded to the Redskins. There couldn't have been a more uninspiring move by Washington to find a replacement at quarterback than going out and grabbing Keenum. And Elway still messed up on that, because guess what? You still are paying him a ton of money, and you gave him guaranteed money and $26 million to be a guy that you traded in year two, which is crazy. So again, John Elway, yet another thing that he's messed up. And then Olivier Vernon traded for Kevin Zeitler. The rare good move by the Giants. They're letting Landon Collins walk. I disagree with that. I think Collins, even though he's not great in pass coverage, is good enough to keep around. I think that this trade, though, helps both sides. Zeitler is one of the best pass protection guards in the league, and Eli needs pass protection. And Olivier Vernon's going to fit in really well with the Browns on defense, and we'll talk about the Browns a little bit more in this episode. So, finally, the last thing, Josh Rosen, of course, a ton of talk about him potentially getting moved. I spent about 3 hours watching Cardinals tape this week, and I think that Josh Rosen is absolutely worth a first-round pick. He is totally there. He makes all the throws. He is a great leader. That's all anyone on these broadcasts has to say about him, is how impressed they are with him. And I think that he's going to do really well in the coming years. And I think if Arizona doesn't give him a chance, that's a mistake. They did, however, they went out. They traded for the Steelers' right tackle, Mike Smith, I want to say. I want to say Mike Smith, but I would not necessarily want to say that because I'm not entirely sure. But one of their he was one of their better tackles last year, and the Cardinals offensive line gets immediately better with Gilbert in the building. As far as more Josh Rosen talk, I would really, this has been short. I understand that this news segment has been short. I would go listen to Johnner's podcast, which I was on earlier this week. You can find that on the End Zone timeline at End Zone Pod. And the Around the NFL podcast, they have some more great analysis on this news stuff. I got a lot deeper into this last night with my guest, but again, there were some technical difficulties, so I wasn't able to put it out, which kind of sucks. But now we get to the meat and potatoes and free agency preview. Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal, both who have been on the show, both who are, I am a big fan of, put out a top 101 free agents list. Now, after all the franchise tagging and stuff like that got done, they update it as all that stuff happens, and I wanted to go through and give the top 10 free agents new landing spots, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun, and I hope you guys will enjoy it. So let's start with their number one guy right now, which is Le'Veon Bell, obviously a super talented running back coming off a year of rest. Great in the passing game, great in the running game. Bell, I think next year is going to have a big year. I really trust that this year off is going to help him rather than hurt him. And I think it's the New York Jets. I think the Jets have cap room, and I think Bell's is a guy that can help improve that offense. They will need to focus on grabbing some offensive linemen in the draft and in free agency to improve an offensive line, which was shaky all year last year, but adding Le'Veon Bell to this offense suddenly makes them a little bit spicy, I want to say. I think that they are a team that you can definitely point to and say, huh, it's got a little, these guys got a little bit of kick. I think they might be able to do something this year, and I think that if Bell lands on the Jets, it's definitely kind of going to be the way I think about the Jets going forward, because I think giving Sam Darnold that target out of the backfield is insanely helpful, you know. Anyways, up next, Earl Thomas, best safety in this class. The Indianapolis Colts, I think that's where he goes. The Colts have said they don't want to spend a ton of money in free agency, but I think they're going to spend some money, and because they have the cap room, and at some point, not using cap space is irresponsible, as echoed by Greg Rosenthal. I 100% agree with that. You have to spend money at some point in the NFL, and Earl Thomas gives the Colts a chance to do that. And I think pairing Earl Thomas with Malik Hooker would make a really interesting secondary. I would say that's the one place where you point to what the Colts struggled with a little bit last year, and the secondary was where that was. If you can add pieces in the secondary to a talented front seven, I think the Colts automatically become a Super Bowl contender with one of the best defenses in the AFC. And I'd love to see Earl Thomas on the Indianapolis Colts. I think he would absolutely be a great fit for that team. Up next, Trey Flowers. Okay. Two things. I don't think it's unlikely that Trey Flowers re-signs with New England. I think they might try to find a way to keep him around for sure. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. I think if they can get him at a decent price, they would think about keeping him around, because he was one of their best defensive players down the stretch last year, and a big reason why they could change their looks, because he knew the system so well. It was a tremendous defensive leader for New England, and New England's going to be hurt if he walks away from the team, and I think they are going to do everything in their power to try to keep him on board, to try to keep him in New England, to try to keep him with Belichick, so they can continue to do things defensively. That being said, I think he's going to reunite with his defensive coordinator from last year, Brian Flores. I think he's going to Miami. Miami has a major need in defense, has some cap room, and I think adding Trey Flowers would make a lot of sense and be a good start to building the new look Miami Dolphins, which I believe are going to be a new look team next year. There's no doubt about it, but I think they are going to build from the defensive side of things, especially with Flores. And I think Trey Flowers is an excellent addition to start building your team around as far as the defense goes. I think the other place he could go, Detroit, reunite with Matt Patricia. But I think Miami's the team that lands Trey Flowers, and that is the third-ranked free agent on the top 101 free agents list. Number four, Nick Foles. I think it's pretty clear that the Jaguars are the top suitor, but let me float out some other places that I wouldn't be shocked if he went to. The Broncos. I know that they spent their trade on Joe Flacco and they jumped the gun too early, but I would not put it past John Elway to panic and go out and get Nick Foles. I think the Redskins are another team to come in and have Case Keenum as a backup and Nick Foles as the starter. I think the Redskins are a team to watch. I think the other interesting team to watch is the Giants. It sounds like they are leaning towards not drafting a quarterback from the recent reports I've seen. So I think it would be interesting, and I think that Nick Foles to the Giants would be a really good move for both sides. I think Nick Foles in that offense would be amazing, and I think that the Giants would become immediately very interesting if Nick Foles stepped on their team. That all being said, I think it's going to be the Jaguars. I think they cut Malik Jackson and Carlos Hyde. They're freeing up cap space. They are going to offer Nick Foles some money, and they're going to get him. And I don't know what to think about the Jaguars with Nick Foles. I don't want to say they're a Super Bowl contender, although kind of deep down, that's slightly how I feel. I think they are a playoff team, though, for sure, if they get Nick Foles next year. Anyways, let's talk next about a team that is in desperate need of help at safety. Now, they have one good safety already. One good safety. They have Julius Peppers, who is not Julius Peppers, pardon me, Jabril Peppers. I think the Browns land Landon Collins, and I think that would be a great move for the Browns. I think he fits kind of what they want to do as far as a kind of a 4-3 looking, hard-hitting defense. I think Collins would be an excellent move for the Browns, and let's just throw the guy underneath to the Browns as well, Anthony Barr, baby. Anthony Barr played really well last year. He's 26. I cannot believe that the Vikings are letting this guy walk. And I think if the Browns find a way to get him, pair him up with Schuster in the linebacking core, that is a very good defense all of a sudden. And I think the Browns fans would be jumping out of their seats if they got Collins and Barr. And they have the space. I think they're going to go do it. I think they will try to build their offense through the draft, but they are going to aim for a ton of defensive players in free agency, because that's where this free agency class is. There aren't a ton of offensive options in this free agent class outside of good depth players. And I think that the defense is where teams are going to stack up. And I think the Browns are going to take full advantage of free agency. Watch for them to be very, very aggressive. There are a few more left to go. We have four more left. CJ Mosley, I think the former Ravens linebacker, goes to the Rams. I think the Rams are going to be aggressive. They've already reportedly signed Eric Weddle. I think they're going to go get his Ravens teammate, CJ Mosley, and fly. I think they need help at linebacker, and they are going to go get him. Another guy I think fits in Los Angeles is Malik Jackson. I think after losing Ndamukong Suh, you go out, you get Jackson, who is great at run defense, and you don't lose that much between Suh and Jackson as far as run defense goes. Yes, you'll need another pass rusher, but I think they can target that through the draft, and obviously you already have a guy like Aaron Donald, who's going to get a ton of pressure on the quarterback. So look for the Rams to be really aggressive in free agency as well. I expect CJ Mosley, though, to end up heading to Los Angeles. All right. Up next, we have KJ Wright, one of the rare guys on the top 10 list that I think stays with the same team. I think Seattle finds a way to keep KJ Wright there. He is low-key been one of the most important parts of that defense alongside Bobby Wagner. I think that if they can keep KJ Wright, that defense, it would really benefit from that. They need help in the secondary, Seattle. But I think that Wright is definitely a guy they want to keep around. And I think if they can get him at the right price, maybe give him a little bit of a pay raise, I think he's definitely worth it. If not, I could see KJ Wright going to New England. I think they desperately need help at linebacker, and I think he would give them that. He's a fast kind of inside guy that is very good at stopping the run and in pass coverage situations as well. So I think he'd be a perfect fit in New England. Finally, we have Sheldon Richardson. I think he's going to the Patriots. He has been so good for the loner teams he's been picked up as. He is not a long-term contract guy. He's a two-year guy. He played extremely well for the Vikings last year, in my opinion. I think that adding him to the Patriots would be a really, really good move. I could see them definitely grabbing him, and that defense would get a lot better with him on it. I think the Patriots are very quietly going to have a big free agency on the defensive side of things, because for as good as they were in the playoffs on that side of the ball, they had some major issues there this year, and I think they are going to work hard on setting up a lockdown defense, because if they can continue to go with that ball control offense style next year with a lockdown defense, I think they are, again, a Super Bowl team, and will continue to be as long as Bill Belichick's there. So I think watch for them to make a move on the defensive side of the ball. Also, offensive line, they get their tackle back, Isaiah Wynn, who went down with an injury, who they drafted last year. They get him back this year, but I think they add more depth on the offensive line. I think they've been hurt by injuries too many times, and I think they're going to go out and get some depth offensive line guys this free agency as well. Finally, Tyrann Mathieu. I think the Oakland Raiders need to make a move at safety, and I think he fits in well there, and they wouldn't have to break the bank for him, in my opinion. All right. So that is where I think the top 10 free agents in this class are going. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And I will be back later on this week. Got some exciting news in the works that I want to announce kind of in the next few weeks. It's going to take me away from the podcast for just a tiny little bit. But we'll get a schedule back on track. But expect a show sometime next week, probably on the weekend again. And we will be talking about all the big free agency moves. Until then, thank you very much for listening to the End Zone Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at End Zone Pod. You can follow us on, just Twitter at End Zone Pod. Maybe we should work on getting on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook at some point. But for now, follow us on Twitter at Enzo Pod. Follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at Enzo Pod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.